before the bloodbath begins, slither your way over to the host's socials. For the podcast, slash over to Twitter at the BHO underscore podcast. Instagram, the Baron's Hideout podcast. Then stab over to Dean's Instagram at Dean of the Dead Hot Sauce. Listen to the show on your favorite apps and Patreon. Enjoy the slay and try to stay alive. For the next period of time, strap in as the hosts rip and tear at the unsuspecting guests, in which they learn their dark secrets and methods of the genre. In this bloodbath, no one gets out alive. This is Within the Barons.
Dustin, and joining us today are the founders of A&P Productions, Angie and Paul. So let's chat about indie filmmaking and horror, especially 80s horror.
Definitely.
How are you both doing?
Good, man.
How are you?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
it's my pleasure. I always love, you know, having filmmakers or actors come on here that, you know, specialize in indie filmmaking, you know, grassroots, doing it, you know, punk rock style and going in there, and especially, you know, going for that the 80s aesthetic, because, you know, us horror fans, for some reason, we are so attached to how movies were made, especially for horror in the 80s. And I finally got around to watching Murder Size, and I've been seeing, you know, at like, your posts pop up everywhere. A close friend of mine from the show, Drew Marvick, is in it. So I'm like, I need to watch this. And I know you guys have other films out there that I am going to get to. It's on my list. But thank you for, you know, taking the time out of your day to come and chat with me.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I saw that you had you did like a, was it like a watch along with for Pool Party Massacre, or was it some sort of like a live event, right?
So right now what I'm doing is I'm doing like live movie hostings in my local area, and I live in Massachusetts, and I'm not too far from Salem, so I host in a cinema over there called Cinema Salem, and I played around with Drew for a little bit. I'm like, hey, dude, I've been doing, you know, some of these showings, and I'd love to get you over there and show. He's like, yeah, dude, let's do it. So that it's going to be my third showing this year of films, and it's a blast. It really, really is.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
He's perfect for that. He's so fun.
Yeah, he's so down to earth, and we'll definitely, you know, get to him shortly. But I want to start with the both of you and kind of go back to where filmmaking and the love of cinema or horror kind of originated with you. Angie, we can start with you. Where did all this kind of start?
Where did that start? It started with him. actually, my story's pretty funny of how I worked my way into this community. Full disclosure, I'm not experienced in horror films. I wasn't allowed to watch them when I was growing up. My mom was super strict. We were only goody stuff, Disney and all big blockbuster kind of movies. And even if she had let me, I mean, I'm such a chicken, so like, I probably wouldn't have watched them anyway. Too scared. But and same thing with being a filmmaker. I didn't really like have that as my goal or desire when I was younger. I was just in college trying to figure out like what I want to be, what I want to do, and was wandering around taking like the easiest classes I could think of, and pretty much was everything in the arts. So like theater, playwriting, film was there. And I was like, that sounds like
all in the same building.
Yeah, film appreciation, where you just get to go to the theater and like watch movies and then talk about it.
Yeah.
And then actually filmmaking. So I was like, how hard can that? I mean, I don't know anything about it, but it sounds like it's fun and it's not like books. So
yeah,
like I'll do that. And Paul was there. So he was the well-intentioned, good student, film background, horror background, all that stuff. And I just had so much fun there and we fell in love. Mm-hmm. So it was like, oh, and we dipped our toes into filmmaking together and we're like, let's just team up and start making a bunch of movies. So we didn't start out making horror films. We have other genres that are like more artsy and black and white film style, French style. And then we started dipping our toes into like this horror thing because we thought it would be funny. And then it just kind of expanded and expanded and expanded.
Yeah, because I grew up watching horror movies from a very, very young age, you know, watching them off of TV, recorded off HBO, or recorded off television, you know, Wolfman Meets Frankenstein, and, you know, Abbott Costello Meet the Wolfman, you know, Frankenstein. So all that stuff. I was watching all the Universal horror movies. And then, you know, of course, graduated Friday the 13th and Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street. So those are all shaped me in my youth. And then when I went to film, you know, so when I was a kid, I was making monster movies with my brother and my cousins and stuff, you know, just the movies, replicating the movies that we saw on TV. And then when I went to film school, you know, I did want to be more of a, you know, like a Tarantino, Scorsese, Paul Thomas Anderson type of director, you know, the type of, you know, stories I was mostly interested in. And I did make those movies when I was there, you know, so I was definitely a film snob and I kind of rejected my upbringing on horror movies when I, mm-hmm. during that time. And then after, you know, I left, you know, made some films and stuff and then we got together. I was interested in making other types of films, but I went back to what I know, and we made a holiday horror movie. Our first feature film is a holiday horror movie called Cinco de Mayo. And that was supposed to be like a trailer. It's supposed to be fun. And, you know, it's supposed to like come off the heels of like, you know, the fake trailers of Thanksgiving and
yeah.
the fake trailers of Machete, you know, like, you know, oh yeah, let's do something like that, you know? And it just started growing and then it grew into like a short film and then into a feature film. And then eventually, like, you know, it grew into like a little series because I did a little wraparound called All Night Long. It's supposed to replicate like USA Up All Night with Rhonda Shear. And so I did that for Cinco de Mayo, and then I did that for Shoot to Vengeance. And I want to do that again, bring it back. But anyways, I started just really tapping into like my upbringing and watching late night TV, basically.
Hell yeah. And I can feel that just by watching this film. And I'm a huge fan of like straight to video type films back in the 80s and the 90s and the cheesy sleazy movies of them, you know. And this screams that. Like I had so much fun watching this cuz it's got everything. It's got the boobs, it's got the kills, it's got all the sleaziness, all like it's just crazy. It's you know, comedic, can be serious and then it's just like it's just a ball of everything, and I'm so excited to go watch your other films because it screams that so much. Like what you have this like in this bottle from the both of you, and I saw I was going through the IMDb is that you do carry over some you know actors from films, and I'm excited to see how they are and all these other films.
Man, for sure.
Definitely. Thank you so much for saying that. I mean, we were 80s, 90s kids, so that time period is really nostalgic for us. So we lived through it. We enjoyed the movies of that time and what feeling it gave us. And we definitely both love the idea of trying to recreate that in a modern way, but still have like those nostalgic feels.
Yeah, and watching, you know, since you've watched Murder Size, if you do go back, you will see a common trend, not just the actors, but just like our theme of wanting like to mix fun with like blood and stuff. So like we try to fun is like a big thing for us. And that was a big thing for me. Like I had fun watching, you know, Critters 2 and Ghoulies 2.
Hell yeah.
And Night of the Creeps and Monster Squad and Return of the Living Dead. Those were fun to me. So like that's what we wanted to recreate with our movies. So you'll see fun or being a comedy as like a big component in our movies.
Yes. Yeah, the writing is really good on that end of like, you know, trying to push that. And I had so much fun watching this. I need to watch it again tomorrow. And I'm going to go through the rest of your all your films that you have available right now. I saw a lot of them are on Tubi, so that's where I'm going.
I'm sure. Yeah, all three of them are on Tubi.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of ask, where did the idea of doing Murder Size come from? Like, were there films that you were pulling from that you wanted to kind of reshape in your own? Or was it just something that you were both talking about? Like, hey, this would be kind of cool to have, you know, a weird, like, workout group just have shit happen.
Yeah, well, it's like, well, it definitely started with me because I have the background in that.
Yeah.
So, so usually I come up with the idea and I present it to Angie and ask her, hey, what do you think about this? You know, as far as like the aesthetics, you know, because she's like, she's a part of co-director, but she's also a producer and also art direction and like wardrobe and hair and all that kind of stuff. So that's a big, big component to our movies too, which we see them. So for Murder Size, I am a fan of Killer Workout, a fan of Linnea Quigley's Horror Workout, just the whole 80s workout attire. That usually movies kind of start out with just like a visual for us. So think about that. And there's a program called Aerobicize, really big in the 80s. It was like basically like what they're doing in Murder Size. They're making like making sexually charged aerobics video. And if you remember in Friday the 13th part 4, Axel, the paramedic guy, he's watching it on TV before he gets his neck hacksawed off by Jason. So I remember seeing that as a kid being like, what the hell is that? You know, like that's so crazy, like that thing he's watching on TV. And to come find out it's like a real thing, you know, it's like a Ron Harris, I think, is the guy, the producer who made those videos. And I finally got a copy of my own on VHS, tracked it down. I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to like recreate this type of video or the making of this type of video and then, you know, add like a slasher element to it. And so taking Killer Workout and like Slash Dance, which is like another 80s slasher movie, which, you know, has a great poster or great cover. I don't know if you remember it, but Slash Dance was also the inspiration. It's like two girls on the front and they're scantily clad and they have like this guy above them, like with a knife or something. So I was like taking that idea and then taking Killer Workout and also Sleepaway Camp 2 and
just
mixing them all together. And that's basically how it started. And this one in particular, like I wrote it really quickly and I actually have my old notes that I save and I just try to write down as much as I could, just to get it out, not to like just, you know, stress over it too much and just get really quick script out and make something small where we thought it was gonna be small and just get it out there and just kind of snowball from there.
Awesome. I always love hearing the origins of how, you know, films are created or what you're pulling from, and like listening to actors and directors kind of be like, yeah, I'm pulling from this, I'm pulling from that, because sometimes they'll be pulling from things you're like, how, that's not even like related, but okay, I guess you got it in there somehow. But yeah, this movie it's super fun. It's a little less than 90 minutes, which is perfect. That's a sweet spot, as everybody knows. But it goes by so fast that it ended so fast that I was like, that's it? It's like, I want more because it's so crazy. And seeing this character, you know, Phoebe, just go on a tangent, you know, and just do all these things. Like, it really throws a curveball at you. And just seeing how funny all the characters are in these crazy situations. Because if you're there and you're in that situation, you would not be acting the way these people are acting. And that's what I love about it, for how crazy things can get. But I guess we can start, you know, touching on some of the actors that are in here. And we'll start with Drew, because we all know how great of a person he is and how down to earth he is. So tell me a little bit about how he was on set and his role, essentially.
Yeah, Drew, I mean, we met him, we did one of the movie with him before, Slasherette Party, and we had met him at a horror convention like a few years back, and we just hit it off right when we met him. He's just like a cool guy. He invited us to his merch table to sell some stuff.
We shared a table, I forget how many years ago that was.
Like 2017 or something.
Hey, oh, wow. Sacramento. If you guys want to like stop by, we can share a table because you guys have a movie and I have a movie. Mm-hmm. And we were like, what? That was just so nice and like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so we're like, yeah, man, let's do it. So we went and met him in person and swapped VHS tapes of our movies.
That's awesome.
Talked about being film, like indie filmmakers, and
just the grind.
He was talking about being on the road and traveling a lot to different conventions, which is pretty inspiring and something that we still haven't done, and we're kind of like dabbling with the idea of getting into that. But he was just such a cool guy. And yeah. just from that meeting, which is funny because we met as filmmaker to filmmaker, but we just thought his personality, he's just so funny and charming and naturally charismatic. So mm-hmm. we're like, he has to be in more movies. Yeah. So we're like, hey, you want to be in our next thing? And he was like, yeah, I'm down. So we wrote a role for him in Slash Wet Party, mm-hmm. Flew him out here and made that movie a few years ago, 2019. And yeah. he was so funny. He's like,
hilarious.
He's like the cast mascot. Like everybody oh, yeah. instantly falls in love with him. My mom's obsessed with him. Mm-hmm. Still asks me about him constantly.
And a big thing for us, like when we work with people, a big thing of why we're attracted to them and bring them back is their energy. You know, they just like, well, some people just have an infectious energy that not only does it bring us up, like our morale, like when we're on set and stuff, you know, but like the whole cast, you know, like they just like have an effect on everybody. And Nina Lene Kent, she's a lot like that too, which is why we work with her a lot. And Drew is definitely like that. He's just always so helpful. He's always down. He never complains, never has, he seems like he's never tired. He's just always up for everything. Even when we're shooting late at night, which we shot late nights on Slasher Air Party, but he was there swinging his axe and ready to get killed and ready to kill. And so we wanted to bring that back. You know, we just like, we got to have him back. Like he's just awesome. You know, so we brought him back for Murder Size.
And definitely. So for Murder Size, we'd already done Slash Web Party and we're like, okay, we need to up it and make him even more ridiculous. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's just so funny. We need to make him this like totally 80s guy, shorty shorts and the fingerless gloves. We've got to get cut off a crop top shirt.
Yeah.
Just have him be just hysterical. Like his lines are just so funny. And a lot of what he says was written in the script, oh, yeah. but because he's so funny, he adds his own little extra oh, yeah. stuff, and it's just so funny. He just
yeah.
Makes the script even better. And
yeah, and he does that to help, you know, to be like, hey, does this sound good? You know, it's like, yeah, man. Like, I love that he gets into his characters. You know, and that's what we love about it. Like, he wants to get into it.
Any idea? He doesn't care like how ridiculous it sounds. He's like, I'm down.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's so fun. He's really kind.
I mean, yeah, oh yeah, and yeah, so he's so helpful. He's very resourceful, and then like I said, like just on the set, he just brings like a levity to it, you know. And so like, yeah, he does add a lot of stuff. I mean, it was a great. I don't know how it happened, but a serendipitous pairing of him and Jessa, because they have an iconic scene in the movie.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
let's talk about the scene yeah. in the whole movie, and that scene was worked out between them two in the rehearsal. We were just like going over in the hotel room, and then the next night we shot that, and we just let him go, like let's just go, like okay, again, yeah, keep going on that. You know, and Drew made up so many great lines as far as like the paychecks being plump. Get out of my office.
It was so funny. The whole scene was great.
Yeah, and Jess was right there giving it right back to him. I was like, yeah, just call him dummy and just want him to look at your like, text, you know, and just scream at him, just get crazy on him. And they did it. You know, everyone else on the set were like, oh my God, what's going on in there? And like, I want to see what's happening.
It was so hard to shoot that scene because we were all just like trying so hard not to laugh and like ruin the shot. But
that check being plump scene, that line, it was really, I was right behind the camera, like, holy
the
shit.
Juicy union paychecks.
Yeah.
Killed us. We were like dying laughing at that afterwards. It was so good. The script was there, which they said, but they just went off and just added like a whole extra 10 mm-hmm. minutes, and we were like, I wish we could use the whole thing because it's all hilarious. But we're like, how long do you think we can make this scene and people like won't mind?
I know, I was like, I think we get tired of this, but like no, it plays like gangbusters, if that's a term.
Pretty funny.
And then even like the whole scene where he comes in with his leotard. Like
oh yes,
he had done that before. Before he showed up, he had like did like a little music, like a little video to promote the movie. And then when he showed up on set, it was like the last scene, the last setup of the night. I was like really late.
Everyone had gone home.
No one was there. So he was like, "Hey, what if I put this on and do a little something with it? And let's just keep it a secret. Like let's not tell anybody. Don't share any pics of it until you see the movie." And we're like, "Okay, let's do it." Like yeah, I was like, "Okay, let's have Chuck say, hey, I'll do it. And then so we did that whole thing, and he dresses up, and like I said, he just has so much energy. The last shot, he's jumping around, stretching, kicking, it was so funny. And it was like, man, okay, that's it. That's the take right there. Exactly. So yeah, that was like the last thing he shot for us. And it was like, you know, perfect. Way to go.
The editing on that was perfect too. I've seen the transition of him being in like his usual outfit and he's got the leotard on and then he transitions back into it. It was so funny. You guys, you're nailing everything right on the head for having this aesthetic. And I'm so excited to go watch these other films. I really, really am. And it's like everybody in this cast was perfect. They were all funny. Especially, you know, Kansas Bowling, like seeing her performance, you know, go through this, you know, really uptight person, like, we gotta keep everything here, and then breaks and then does all these crazy things is really, really cool. So what was it like, you know, casting her and getting her in this film?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a journey because we had another actress originally cast for the lead, and then like maybe 2 weeks before we were gonna shoot, she dropped out and she had to drop out because of family stuff, you know. But we had already booked a hotel, booked the plane tickets, all this stuff, and we had booked everyone else. We had told everybody, okay, this is the date, so everybody's coming. We're like, oh damn, what are we gonna do? You know, like, I might have to postpone it. I might have to like shut everything down and try to find someone new, or I can just bust my ass and try to find someone. And I did. I tried to find people, and you know, I reached out to certain actresses, and they weren't available, you know, that week, or they just straight up turned it down. It like, oh, this is crazy. I don't want to do really this.
Short notice.
Super short notice.
So we got so lucky.
So we got so lucky with Kansas because I had always known of Kansas, but we weren't like friends. We never talked, you know, we just like followed her, you know, I was friends with her on Facebook. So that was it. But I knew of her. I knew she was an actress. I knew she was a filmmaker. And I was like, well, she's been in some other things. Let me see if she's up for it or she would even entertain it. And sent her the script. And I think it was only maybe a day later, or maybe it was later that day. I don't know. But she responded and said that she's reading it. She was on the road driving somewhere with a friend of hers, Lo Espinosa, who's actually did the makeup in our movie. So they were
special effects.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Special effects makeup. She did the chainsaw scene. I don't want to spoil it, but she did that makeup effect. So it's freaking awesome. So they were together and they were reading the script and she liked it. She thought it was funny. And I guess Lo said, yeah, you should totally do this. And Kansas was like, okay. You know, she didn't know me, so know me and Angie. So she just took a chance on us. And when we met her, it was like just synced up. Like she totally got what we're going for. We totally get what she's going for, like all her choices and decisions that she made for the acting. Like I think someone described her as an adorable maniac.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's exactly what she is. So working with her was like, wow, this girl's amazing. Like we just fell in love with her like right away.
Again, those top three, which are like our out-of-towners, which is Drew, Jessa, Kansas, they all came from out of state. So them joining our usual hometown people was like such a cool way to mix things up. And those three really kind of set the tone for everybody else to really elevate it to a place like, how ridiculous are we gonna go? And it's like all the way. They're gonna
three took it all the
they
way.
They went all out and they committed to these ludicrous word situations. Dialogues and situations and just like went there, and because of their level to commitment to the script and to their character, it just made everybody else kind of like rise up to like meet that level
for
and,
sure.
Definitely we just inspired. Got really lucky that those three just were like, I'm down for this and I'm gonna go all out. I know this is weird and it's crazy, but I'm doing it.
Yeah, they're like the unholy trinity or something. Like we're definitely bringing them back to the next one because it was just a pleasure working. Because it was the first time working with Jessa Flux too.
Yeah.
So first timers, Jessa and Kansas, they were both amazing. You know, Drew was obviously working before, so he was like our rock, you know.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to work with these new people and to find new connections. And I think I've told them all, it's like, yeah, you guys are gonna be in every movie we make now. So that's it. You know, there's no ifs or buts about it.
That's awesome. Having a film family is very important, I feel, because you know what the chemistry is like, and when you want to bounce ideas off, now you have more people to go and be like, how do you guys think about this? You see these other films that we've had, and I see that a lot lately with indie filmmakers, especially with them having their own little crew that they roll around with, and to see that there's other people who have carried over. Like, you got Ginger, who's been in previous ones as well. Yeah. It carries over into here, who she's amazing in this, super duper funny, crazy, and that's the whole movie. The best way to summarize this is crazy. But in a good way.
I like that.
It is crazy. I think this movie, for anyone who's discovering this one of ours and then going back, you'll definitely see our progression of like how we've stepped up to here, because our previous couple films, they have a little bit of social commentary. It's not too heavy, but if you're looking for it, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It still has like the over the top, the colors and the style and the aesthetics. But but this one had no social commentary. It was purely to be over the top fun, written during the pandemic, and it was meant to purely like come back as a crazy good time.
Unless you count Phoebe's obsession with Ronald Reagan.
I was gonna bring that up. That was so funny.
The communist aspect, I guess, if you want to read into that, I guess take that.
Yeah.
But our other ones can come off a little bit more serious than this one, even though there's still a lot of comedy and over the top style aesthetics. But yeah, this one is our most fun and ridiculous one so far.
Yeah, I mean, because there's, I mean, speaking of, like, film family and our other films, Anthony Tuamata, who's in this, in Murder Size, he was in our very first feature film, A Cinco de Mayo. So you think back, you'd be like, oh, hey, there's like, he's been with us for a long time.
Yeah.
So it was great to have him back in this movie. And of course, if you go back and watch Streets of Vengeance, you'll see Victoria. She was in Streets of Vengeance. She plays the wrestler girl. And then Crystal Shea, she's also in Slasher Party and Slasher. So and now Ginger, you know, you mentioned Ginger. This is our third movie with her. So she's our frequent collaborator that we're definitely honored to be friends with her. Like it's so crazy to have her like in so many movies now.
Yeah, Brian was in Streets of Vengeance too.
Yes, right. Brian Hurd. And Luis Maya was in Slasherette Party, and so was Nina. So yeah, it was really cool to bring like all these people together, like new people and old people. Adriana, she's new. So it was really cool. It was really, really nice film family on this one. Really nice team.
Definitely.
Yeah. And like, this is, I feel, really good to inspire a lot of other filmmakers. And that's why I wanted to also chat with you. You know, taking leaps of faith, essentially, and just putting it out there and seeing who can we get, you know, because I feel like in this day and age, everybody's really slightly scared to reach out to anybody because you never know how they're going to be or whatnot, and you're afraid they're going to turn down your project. But to hear that you're just reaching out and hoping that, you know, maybe it's going to work. And I relate to that.
And there's a lot of rejection along the way.
We're having a lot of no's. But to be honest, I forget who said no, because I'm so focused on like who said yes and all the projects we got done. I mean, Ginger was a total fluke. And I remember Paul was like, hey, wouldn't it be crazy if we got Ginger to like be in this movie? And I was like, yeah, what, does she still make movies? And he's like, well, yeah, I think so. And I was like, is her email on there, on her bio? And he's like, her email is listed. I'm like, let's shoot our shot. I have no shame. Paul's a little bit more like, let me think this through. I'm like, I am not thinking anything through.
Yeah, I'm always like, do you think it's even possible?
And I'm a man of action.
Yeah, and that, and, yeah, for sure. No, and that's true. Like I was always very shy and introverted. You know, like reaching out to people and speaking to people was not my thing at all.
Yeah,
and then being in film school broke me out of that shell a little bit, a lot more than I was in high school.
Yeah.
And then us being together definitely has broken me out of that shell, even though I still have pings of apprehension, like, oh, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, he's smart.
I don't know. But I have to do it. Like, I gotta find a lead because we shoot in 2 weeks. So I was sending, you know, emails to everybody, and you know, like I said, a lot of rejection too, but I'm glad it happened because it was meant to be to work with Kansas.
Like, yeah. It's even better than what I could have imagined.
Yeah.
I know Paul's I think that's true, and I don't want to like stereotype, but I mean, kind of the film community, a lot of times filmmakers do tend to be really introverted and a little apprehensive about working with people. They have these dreams. They're more focused on like behind the camera, behind the notebook, behind the computer. They're very much into the screenwriting of it all, the editing of it all. All of that is very, very much a solo kind of job. And then when it comes to like, okay, I need to cast this thing, or once you get on set and you're like, oh my God, there's like 20 people here and they're all asking me questions. It's easy for things. I mean, we've seen a lot of people crumble at that point, because it's overwhelming sometimes when have that many people like, where do I stand? Where do we start first? What time is lunch? What am I wearing? What do I say? What page are we on? When are we going to go? When she says that, do I look over here and do I go over there? Who's going to drive me? Where am I? It's like, there's a million.
On top of all that, where do we point the camera?
There's a million questions that happen, and it's very easy to get sucked into like this overwhelming sense. But I, you know, Paul is more introverted and more apprehensive about and being polite and like, oh, I want to respect them and their time, and why would they say yes to me? And and I'm just like, I have no shame. Who are they? I'll ask them. What are they going to say? No, I'm in the same position I was 5 minutes ago. So I'm very okay with people saying no, because I'm very curious. I feel like the faster I could get those out of my way, the faster I could get to the person who's going to say yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and surprisingly, so many people said yes on the first time around. I was like, wait, what? That's crazy. Streets of Vengeance in particular was like a perfect experiment in that. The film is based in the adult film world, and I thought it would be cool to give it more legitimacy if we had real adult film stars make cameos.
Yeah.
And we're like, let's just reach out to some of them and see what they say. I mean, they might be too busy. We might not be able to afford their fees or whatever.
Yeah.
They might just say straight up no. But surprisingly, so many of them said yes, and they were so nice. They were just so generous and kind with their time. Sophie actually let us shoot at her house, and
that's awesome.
They were just so nice. So I just say, like, if you could get over it, it's very hard to kind of pump yourself up and psych yourself up to get into that moment, but just like shoot the shot and you'll never know. You never know how it'll work out.
Exactly.
It's better to do it than regret not doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's how I feel too, you know, being a podcaster, like reaching out to the both of you and just like being like, I wonder if they'd want to come on and talk about it. I do that so much. And at first I was the same way, you know, very like, I'm afraid that someone's gonna say no. But to be honest, I haven't had a ton of no's. Like, there has been some. But you know, I feel like that's just life. You know, you gotta take those chances, especially if you're trying to make a film, or if you're trying to run a show or something. You have to take those leaps of faith. You have to challenge yourself too, you know, personally, to trying to get out of that mold, to be there to create this thing that you have this vision on, or to talk to this person that you really want to talk to you about whatever they're making, and pick their brain on it, you know. So it's so cool to see so many other indie filmmakers finally going to do that now. And I'm really happy to know that the both of you are beginning a lot of success, and I want to see more from the both of you.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to keep asking anybody out there, so we'll see who else will want to join our crew. But yeah, I think it's good to just ask. And even though it is hard work, you know, podcasting, you know how it is. It's a lot of work to plan out everything, organize the stuff, and then see it through to actually commit to scheduling, commit to like sending out links and showing up, having your notes ready, doing your preparation. Then afterwards, there's editing sometimes involved, and the promotion of it's a lot of work. So it is hard, but at the same time, when you shoot your shot, you're like, this actually is surprisingly easier than I thought.
Very rewarding.
Once you start seeing how many people say yes and how smooth things go, you're like, I mean, yes, it's hard work, but it's also easier than I thought.
Yeah exactly. So that's and all the friends you make along the way as well, you know, and you have those connections. And that kind of, you know, leads to another thing I wanted to talk about is crowdfunding, because I know you guys do a lot of crowdfunding for your films. How has that been going? Have you been feeling like you've been finding good success through that? Or are you going to be going forward without doing crowdfunding?
Well, this one, we raised the most money with this one than we ever had. The very first one we did with Streets of Vengeance was only like $1,500 or whatever. But no one knew us, so
mostly, by the way, we were like, whoa, somebody
else. That's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, we were happy. We're like, wow, someone wants to watch this movie? Because I mean, it was all just based off of just promo photos. And that's all we really had.
like, just to set the record straight, we are from the Central Valley, California. So mm-hmm. we're just in this like kind of small pocket. We're not connected. We don't have investors. We don't have wealthy families. We don't have money. We're not rich. We don't have connections or anything like that. So we just both work full-time jobs. And previously, up until Streets of Vengeance, we had funded all our projects just with our paychecks, just like...
Yeah, we just made it ourselves. Just like every just other... Kept it really low because we worked full-time, so...
And we were...
Put our own money into
we were
it.
Learning, too. So we were like, we don't yeah. ask people to give us money when we're still kind of figuring things out. But with Streets of Vengeance, there was really an applied effort to step up the game as far as like renting cars and flying out here and shooting in the city and a lot of costuming. And there was a lot more involved. So we thought, well, we'll try, even though we're nobody and we don't really, like, who's going to contribute to this?
Right. But, and I thought that doing the Indiegogo was just a good way of marketing because just to get our name out. A lot of people would see the campaign, and if they didn't contribute, they still saw it.
They might still be interested in the movie.
They still saw it, and that was the first time we actually did, like, promo photos. So we had the lead actress, Delana, come over our house and try on the clothes, and then we did photos, and then did some photo shoots of the other actresses, too. And it was just, you know, just against a black background, pink light, or whatever, you know, and just shot some photos in their costumes, and that's what we used. And then we just had a logo, and that was it. And so that's all people could go off of. And I think hearing, reading the story and then, like, you know, the little pitch video or whatever, which wasn't really elaborate at all. And then the photos, I think they got it. Oh, this is like an 80s vigilante female revenge movie. Okay, I got it. I want to see it, you know.
Yeah.
And we got a few of those people. And that was really cool, you know. So it was like it was a good marketing tool. We didn't meet our goal. We didn't even know what a goal was.
Yeah.
But we raised money, and that was pretty crazy.
We were so excited. We're like, oh, my gosh, we can pay for these people's lunch and, like, do that one scene where we were trying to, like, rent that car and, like, do mm-hmm. this and that. So it was so exciting for us to, like, that anybody even found out about our project. And then we kind of tried to challenge ourselves to extend past that for Slash What Party and be like, maybe we can get a little bit bigger. Because our,
it's a five.
Our
goal was five, I think.
Our goal was five time. For Streets of Ven. Oh, yeah. It was five for Slash Web Party, mm-hmm. 5,000. And it went a little past that. We were mm-hmm. like, what the heck? It was just like such a huge jump from what Streets of Vengeance was. But I think through what people found with Streets of Vengeance, like, people were coming around afterwards, finding out about the movie after it was already made. So the campaign was already long gone and closed. But people were like, what is this movie? This is actually cool. What are you guys working on next? Because I want to, you know, back that thing.
And it helped because Streets of Vengeance, we put a fake trailer in Streets of Vengeance because it's supposed to be presented like it's on an all-night-long TV show. So the fake trailer in Streets of Vengeance is Slasherette Party. And we shot that
you know,
just as a fake trailer, not really planning on making it a full feature, but people wanted it. So we decided, okay, let's do it. And then when people heard we were doing that, who were newest from Streets of Vengeance, they came along and were like, okay, I want to see that now. So we did that. Yeah, we did raise like 7,000 or 8,000.
I think. And so then, it's been like slowly expanding. And then with Murder Size, we really didn't know if we were going to go like start back from square one because, you know, everyone's coming out of a pandemic. Things are all weird. And who knows what the state of things are right now with art. Is it like even a priority for people right now? So we didn't really know, you know, what to expect. So our expectations were pretty low, but oh my gosh, the community like showed out so hard for this movie. I think just the photos, they were like, what? 80s aerobics, babes, and there's probably some murder and blood. I'm in. Like, take my money. And we were just like, what? This is so crazy. The response to the campaign was crazy.
It was not what we were expecting.
It's not what we were expecting at all. It's been so overwhelmingly positive, and like, we're still just trying to process like how kind everybody has been and how excited they've been to see this type of movie. I was like, I didn't even know this that many people would want to see this exact niche kind of movie. So it's been so exciting and fun.
Very, very grateful. But this is the first time that we've raised anything like this. So.
Yeah, way beyond what
we probably will do it again for the next one. We already know what the next one we want to do. So we're definitely going to do another because a lot of people that supported this one are like, I will support anything you do. So
we have
people that want to be there for the next one. So it's like,
so crazy.
So okay.
I'll be there for sure.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate that so much.
That's crazy.
Yeah. what really caught my eye in this one, obviously I saw pictures floating around from following you guys, but as soon as the trailer was dropping, I knew there was an Indiegogo going on for it, but I think I just missed the cutoff or whatever it was. I was like, crap, I couldn't back it. And I saw the trailer going off, I'm like, this is amazing. And did you get to show in any theaters or anything like that? Or was it all just strictly digital?
We did just have a premiere in July in our hometown. Mm-hmm. So the State Theater here in Modesto, they reached out and they were like, hey, we're trying to work more with local independent filmmakers. Mm-hmm. We want to feature some work from people here. Do you guys want to give us the premiere? We'll screen it for free. And normally in the past, that was always a goal of ours, but the price to rent that theater is pretty pricey. It's a beautiful theater and huge and historic. And so we were just like, we're just a couple like bumpkins. We don't really can't mm-hmm. afford to rent that for one night. But them reaching out to us and saying like, hey, we want to feature people from around here. Would you guys be interested? We're like, hell yeah. Like finally, like we've been wanting to do this for so long.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it was so cool to get to screen the movie there. And most of the cast is from here. So they were all there and got to see the movie up on the big screen. And we got to hear people's reactions to the movie, was probably the most important thing for us to see.
The theater experience and having, you know, a crowd there enjoying it together. Yeah. That's what filmmaking and movies is all about, you know?
Yes, especially for this type of movie, because it's so ridiculous. You want to know, like, are the jokes landing? Is the kills, like, satisfying? Do mm-hmm. they get it? Are they going to hate the bad people? Are they going to cheer for the... Mm-hmm. So everything that we were hoping for, it did come to be. So we were really excited about, like, having that satisfaction of getting to be with the crowd and hear them and hear them cheer at the end. And
We have a video of the end of Murder Size that we put on to the behind the scenes making of Murder Size special feature that's on the Blu-ray, because I recorded it. I wanted to hear those cheers, you know, when they saw at the end of the movie. You know, it's like I like to do this thing where, you know, you show the character again in the end credits, and so everyone has like the little moment. And so like when certain people came up, you know, everyone's cheering and stuff, but certain people just got like loud, huge pops. And it's like when Drew came up, like, woo, everyone's going crazy, and Nina and Kansas, and you know, so it was like really cool to see that. And it's like, oh wow, like hear people clap and like hoot and holler over their favorite scene.
Yeah, it's so satisfying.
That's awesome. I'm happy you guys had that experience, because that's another thing that's been happening is, you know, these indie films are starting to get theater releases, which that never happened. Very, very limited. Right. You know, right. So to know that you were able to do that locally is amazing. That's an achievement of your own, and I hope you get bigger releases for your other films and ones to come. That would be absolutely awesome.
Actually, the State Theater is going to do another screening on October 12th, I believe, of Murder Size. So they want to
That's
screen
awesome.
It again, because it was successful.
That's absolutely awesome. I'm proud of both of you. That's amazing. One other thing I wanted to ask about the film was where was this being shot at? Like, what was the location you guys used?
The bulk of the movie is shot in a studio, so it's pretty obvious that it looks like a studio space in the movie. And it's our cinematographer, so Carlos, who did the majority of the camera work for the movie. Mm-hmm. He has his own business where he does a lot of video work and production work. He has this studio space, and mm-hmm. we were looking for something, again, down to the last minute. We were trying to find something that would be the best option, and
we had a few leads, but it just
nothing
didn't turn
was
out.
Coming through. And he was like, "Well, I have this space, and if you guys want to come shoot here," we were like, "What?
Hell yeah!
That'd be perfect, because." That, it was such a blessing. I can't even express like how grateful we are for that, because that allowed us to shoot whatever hours we wanted. We could show up as early and stay as late. People could like lay around. We could set up little spots for like, okay, this is like the lunch station, mm-hmm. and this is where the girls are gonna change and do their makeup and all that. This is what we're filming over here while you guys are over there. It was a lot of like musical rooms going on. It was like we would go shoot in this room, and then okay, everybody, we're swapping rooms, we're going over mm-hmm. there, so move all your lunch over there.
So, and we had, like Angie said, we had access to it at all hours of the night because Carlos owned it.
Yeah.
And also our cinematographer, Dan Zampa, he shot Slash Art Party and Streets of Vengeance. He was supposed to be the cinematographer for this one too. And then in the movie, the very, very first scene was shot by Dan. It's the actress August. She's in the gym. So that was shot by Dan. But then he had to drop out too. Like a few weeks before we started shooting, he got like a new job at the university, and they were in session, school's in session. So Carlos, he was a friend of ours, like from film school. He had offered us to use his studio, but not to shoot it. And then when Dan dropped out, I was like, oh my God, like now I thought I was gonna have to shoot it myself. And I said, hey, Carlos, do you mind if I, use your camera? He has camera and gear and stuff. And he's like, yeah, well, if you want me to shoot it, I was like, are you sure? Like, I don't want to put you to work, have you shoot a whole damn movie so short notice. He's like, no, man, like, yes. I want to.
That's
shoot
awesome.
A feature film. So like, oh, shit, let's do it. So it was like serendipity again, yes. Like just worked out so perfectly.
Plus Gabby, Carlos' girlfriend.
Right.
She helps him in the news work that they do for their day jobs. But she did all the audio recording. So yep. She has.
Oh, wow.
So we were like, oh, my gosh. Oh, God. For once, we have someone else member that can hold the mics. Like, it's usually record. Like me or Paul because we're that cheap. We're just like, one of us will hold the mic. Like, but Gabby was there and she's like, I'm down. Like, I will do this. So
she did a great job.
Worry about that. As a matter of fact, she has a little cameo in the movie. She plays the news reporter.
Okay. Okay. That's awesome.
Gabby.
So she's our audio person.
Yes.
So we had a little because she has like a background in that too.
Both of them, I mean, they saved our asses so many times with this, like the studio space, with the camera work and the sound work. They're just very generous.
Man, we're so grateful to Carlos and Gabby.
I mean, I think that's
thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
and you didn't hear this out there.
That's independent filmmaking, like in a nutshell. There's all people that like come together that like lend you stuff. That it's like a friend of a friend hooked us up with this like really badass car for this scene, or a friend of a friend.
Shout out to Ricky.
Shout out. Friends of friends that hook us up with music, and they're like, I know this guy who does music. And I mean, the amount of people we've been able to meet from like friends of friends or just being online. I mean, our online connections with people have been so strong. I mean, we've been working with certain musicians like from the beginning that we're still working with now that we've never met in person, but we've had this like working relationship for years. God bless the internet.
Yes.
Yes.
Love it.
For a movie like this, you got to have the right music. The music's got to be synth. It's got to be, saxophone. It's got to be 80s. And not only that, but we were blessed with having two awesome metal guitarists. We had Costa, who did like our track for Streets of Vengeance. Like he did like a thrash song that plays during Nina's character when she's driving the car. And then we have our theme song by Total Wolf. I think they're from Canada. And they did the Murder Size song, and that plays during the finale, the chainsaw scene. And we used it for our trailer stuff too. And it's like, oh my God, when I first heard that song, like it blew my mind. Like this is so freaking 80s anthem, rock anthem. I was like, this is perfect. And so we've been really blessed with just having so many great people around us, so many talented people around us.
So many great collaborators. So great.
Yeah, the music hits really hard in this film. It really does.
Brian
it's Derry. Great.
Shout out to Brian Derry. He did a bulk of the soundtrack. Yeah, he's amazing.
Brian Derry.
Hell yeah. Shout out, man. That's great. I'm so proud of both of you and seeing what you're accomplishing. Like,
thanks, man.
It makes me want to do more. hearing like other people just like putting everything out there. You're working. Same with me. I have a day job and I do this for fun on the side. Yes. And to see that you guys are getting success alongside everything else that you're doing is very heartwarming and gets people motivated. And thank you for doing what you do.
thank you
for recognizing it and allowing us, giving us a platform to speak about it, man. Because we people like you, like giving us the voice or the access to get our voice
for out. Real. I mean, you're doing the same thing because, I mean, Paul's desk is like right behind us, and I like literally rolled my chair from my workspace because we both work from home. So we rolled our chairs over here. We're like clocked out. Let's do this now. It's a lot when you're trying to work and you have like these other ambitions on the side that you're trying to do and you're tired and you're just like, man, does anyone even freaking care that I'm doing this.
Right.
You know, there's somebody that will come through and they'll be like, I love what you do. And you're like, okay, I'm sticking to it. I'm
yes.
going to keep going. Yeah. That was what I needed to keep going.
It's our supporters, you know, we don't call them fans, but they're our supporters, our friends, you know, that they're the ones that are there for us. They're the ones that are always championing us and like sharing, like, you got to watch this movie to all their other friends. And yeah. they're the ones that are out there renting it. Cause right now, you know, like it's only available for rent on VOD. So they're telling their friends to go rent this movie or come yeah. watch it in the theater. So
and it's like, where did all these people come from? I don't know, but I'm just so grateful that they're there and mm-hmm. that they get what we're going for, and not only get it, but they're like, I love that. It reminds me of the feels from when mm-hmm. I was a kid. Like, that is the hugest yeah. compliment.
The greatest compliment is yeah. when people say, dude, this took me back.
Or, yeah.
Dude, this is so much fun. Or yeah. I've watched it 3-4 times. It's like, oh,
that's amazing. Humbling.
It's very humbling. Man, so much. So yeah, we thank everyone out there. People like you, like we said, like giving us a space to talk, man.
I know. And keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, this is so cool that we have such a huge community that's out there that like they want more content. They want more movies. They want more podcasts. They want to meet with more people who mm-hmm. have a shared interest in this. And yeah. it sucks when you have to have a day job and you're like, I don't want to do that. I want to work on my art and stuff. But the people who are doing that, and oh my God, if you have kids, oh my God, do you have kids?
I do. I have a 5-year-old son.
Oh my God. Okay. See, you have it even harder than us. We don't even have kids.
Right.
The people who are having like jobs and families and kids and responsibilities, and you're trying to like launch this like side hustle art thing on the side. I mean, I salute you guys. I hope that everyone keeps doing it, because it's easy to put it down and be mm-hmm. like, I'm just going to take a little month off or whatever. And yeah. it's so hard to pick it back up. If you take a break, it's hard to like build up that momentum again, especially if you're doing something low, like lone wolf style, like you are as mm-hmm. podcasting. It's hard if you don't have a partner to like, come on, like, let's keep doing this. Like, yeah. let's keep pumping each other up. So, I mean, I hope you stick to it. Yeah, I hope man. You keep going.
2 years plus going right now. I do have a co-host, but he's just been super busy. He's based in the UK. Dean of the Dead. He goes by Dean of the Dead Hot Sauce. He does a bunch of horror themed hot sauces. Runs all the convention circuits over in the UK. But for the past like 2 or 3 months, he's been so busy with doing collabs mm-hmm. with movies. He actually is doing, he has a hot sauce for Drew right now for the Pool Party Massacre hot sauce. You guys should reach out to him if you need merch ideas. He loves that stuff.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, he's a really, really cool guy. Right now I'm doing it, you know, alone, but I love what I do, and it never ever feels like a chore. And I want people to know, whether you're making a film or doing a podcast, or doing something, if it feels like a chore, it may not be right for you. No, you never want to be doing something that you have to force yourself to do. Cause then it's never fun. You know, we're here to have fun, entertain, and just build friendships and communities and spread the love. This is what this is all about. And I thank you both for taking the time out of your day to chat with me, to chat about this film, talk about indie filmmaking, and just everything surrounding making movies. Because I love movies.
Same. Thank I might so not much. Know all the ones you know, but I'm still open to
that's okay. About. You there's still plenty of time to go through that library.
he's trying to like catch me up on this backlog of movies I've never seen, and I'm just like, I don't know if my brain can handle that. Like, I'm
guess we'll see.
Such a chicken. Also, it's like driving me crazy. What is the bottom of your shirt say? Remember?
Oh, it says, remember when Robocop shot that dude in the dick?
I know exactly what it says. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Remember that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Where do we get that? We need to get one of those.
That's yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I do a lot of work with Screenbox. I don't know if you guys heard of that service that's out right now. So I do a lot of close work with them. And actually, funny thing is that they are sponsoring the Pool Party Massacre event that I'm doing next month, giving away free subscriptions and discounted prices and everything to, you know, accompany Drew and whatnot. So there's a lot of really cool things happening, like on my side, and knowing there's a lot of cool things happening on your side. You know, if you do something long enough and you have enough love for it, it's gonna pay off in the end.
Yes.
Right. But yeah, it just takes a lot of hard work and dedication, but it will.
Oh yeah. All right. So I think we can wrap it up right here, but I want you guys to stick around for a couple more minutes. I wanna talk to you after this. But thank you so much, Angie and Paul, for coming on here and talking to me. I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you for having us, dude. It's real fun.
Yes, and if you haven't checked out Murder Size, what the fuck are you doing? Go rent it.
Go.
Just go watch it. Go. Get a bunch of buddies together.
.com or Amazon Prime.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.